This is Andrew Pratt with Science Progress. Today we're talking with Professor Alex Farrell at the Energy and Resources Group at the University of California, Berkeley, about the latest research to appear in the journal Science about biofuels and the greenhouse gas emissions related to using land for fuel production, food production, and wilderness preservation.
These latest papers from Science from the Searching Group and the Nature Conservancy basically say that the previous studies of carbon life cycle emissions for biofuels ignored land use, and this seems like a substantial oversight. So I'm wondering, how did previous researchers miss this, and how significant are these revisions to the previous estimates?
The Search Engine paper is a very important paper. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that they have done the first effort to quantify the effects of producing biofuels as they ripple through the global economy. Mm-hmm. And other people have looked at this in the past, but not in the same kind of way. Mark DeLucchi from University of California, Davis has looked at this, but the reason it has tended not to be evaluated very much in the past is it's a difficult thing to do. You need a model of the global economy, and you need to be able to use it to do this particular task, and no one's really tried before. The most important thing, I think, is to think about land, mm-hmm. that using land to produce biofuels essentially competes with using land for food production or keeping land in wilderness. And mm-hmm. just to be simple, we have three possible ways to use land: wilderness, fuel production, and food production. And the way we produce biofuels today, if you do one, you don't really get a chance to do the other.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And so this is really all you need to know to understand the basic intuition. Once I add on the fact that wilderness, like rainforest and even grasslands here in the United States, have a lot of stored carbon in them.
Right.
And so when you convert the wilderness, whether it's grassland or rainforest, into an agricultural operation of some sort, you release a lot of this carbon. Usually you're burning the material at the surface, and the soil gets turned over and it gets oxidized. And it's the release of carbon dioxide from the conversion of the wilderness into agricultural production that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a quick example to understand why it is a little complicated to understand how you might calculate this value. Imagine that I'm a corn farmer, and I'm in a corn-soy rotation. One year I plant corn, the next year I plant soy, and back and forth. And you build an ethanol plant near me, and I decide I'm going to go to continuous corn.
Mm-hmm.
That means I plant corn every year. And what that means is the soy production is now less in the United States than it would have been otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so U.S. exports for soy go down a little bit compared to what they would have been without this ethanol plant.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the price of the price of soy internationally goes up just a little bit, and now farmers all over the world have incentives to either farm a little more intensively, use a little more pesticide or whatever, or to accelerate the expansion of wilderness or land into agricultural production.
Hmm.
And this is in the context of expanding populations and more meat being eaten and so forth, but it is an effect that exists because we have a global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And this expansion, which happens, again, because we've got more ethanol production that is now placing land in competition for food and for wilderness, yields these greenhouse gas emissions. So that's the basic effect.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, other people have not looked at it, partially because it's a very challenging thing to do, and partially because the other part of the calculation, which is just the direct process emissions, is also relatively challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have just sort of, you know, been working on that part for the last several years.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, let me ask a slightly more basic question. Are biofuels bad? A lot of the headlines over the course of the past few days suggest that after a fashion.
The answer is not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Biofuels are not necessarily bad. And what really matters to answer that question is how the material for the biofuel is produced.
Mm-hmm.
If the material for the biofuel is produced on land so that it competes with wilderness and food, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's produced in a way that does not compete for land with other uses like wilderness and food, then you probably avoid most or all of the problems. And there are ways to do this. There are at least three strategies to make these, I call them better biofuels. My thought is we should have better biofuels before more biofuels.
That makes sense.
The first strategy is to use waste and residues, things that really are waste that are not otherwise used. Many of them are things that we can turn into biofuels. The second strategy is to use land that does not compete for wilderness or food. And this could be severely degraded lands, marginal lands that you can't get a crop on. And, for instance, there's a proposal to raise, to grow mixed prairie grasses on degraded land in the Midwest of this country and cut it a couple times a year, maybe just once a year, in order to harvest all that material and allow the carbon in the soil to continue to build up and produce a very healthy soil bank, that would probably fall in the second category. And then the third category would be to integrate the production of biofuel feedstocks with food production. We don't do that very much right now, and it's a little bit more subtle, so let me give you an example. In California here, there are some farmers who cannot make a profit on a crop in the wintertime. But they could grow a cover crop, which is just alfalfa or clover or mustard, actually, if they wanted to. But they can't really make enough money doing it. But if they could take this cover crop and sell it for biofuel production, they could actually make a profit and not affect food yields whatsoever. And so there are three strategies that can help solve this problem, that can help develop these better biofuels. An important feature of these three strategies is they all require advanced technologies, whether it's cellulosic ethanol production or, for instance, if you wanted to use algae in the desert, the desert does not really compete for the use of land for food or for wilderness because there's not very much carbon in desert wildernesses. And so there are several different strategies, but they all require advanced technologies, and that's the way out of this problem.
Okay. All right. Well, in connection with that, then, do you think that these new reports have the potential to damage any of the policymaking decisions that might lead towards cleaner biofuels and those technologies? And I guess that is basically to say, what should policymakers take away from these newest reports?
Yeah, I think the most important lesson to take away from these newest reports is that not all biofuels are created equal. And if we want clean biofuels, we need to demand or incentivize clean biofuels. And recent policy decisions are moving in that direction. So that's sort of the helpful thing. Let me mention just two. One is in California. We have the low-carbon fuel standard here in California. And also in the Lieberman-Warner bill, there is a emission cap that would include transportation. So those types of policies that actually measure what we're interested in, which is low greenhouse gases, among other things, those are the right kind of policies, and they will provide the correct incentives to allow companies to bring these advanced technologies to the market and for farmers to begin to figure out how to grow better biofuels and produce them. The second one that I'd mention is the recent energy bill. The recent energy bill includes some provisions for advanced biofuels that require a standard of performance for low greenhouse gases, for different types of performance standards for different types of fuels. Those parts of the provision are very important. They, again, will help move the biofuel industry in the right direction. In fact, in a way, they're essential to the biofuel industry, because without those kinds of incentives so that the biofuel industry has a market to sell their products into, low greenhouse gas products, it's not clear how they'll get themselves out of this problem of having biofuels like the ones we have today that compete with food and wilderness and therefore have high greenhouse gas emissions. So the way out of this is to create markets for these greener biofuels, if you will, as well as providing R&D support, research and development. We have some of that already. We could certainly use more.
Okay. Well, that all seems to make sense, and I think that Is there anything else that you would add with regard to the current renewable fuel standards that were enacted at the end of last year?
Yeah, I think it's important to say that the current renewable fuel standard also has a has provisions that grandfathers the current corn by ethanol industry. Mm-hmm. And probably over time we need to think of a strategy to help that industry transform itself into a much cleaner approach. Might be possible, for instance, to retrofit the existing biorefineries and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that attending to that is correct, but we need to get these technologies in place first. And I do think that there is some urgency to do this because the climate problem is an important one. It's getting worse as time goes on, and we do need to address it.
Well, that all makes sense. Let me jump ahead, because you've talked a good bit about some of the policies that would help create better biofuels, not just increase the biofuel production.
Mm-hmm.
Let me jump ahead to a question about the increase in food prices. Is this necessarily something that we are going to see, and what's the effect of increasing biofuel production, both domestically and internationally? It seems, like you were saying at the beginning, that this is a complicated issue that we're only sort of beginning to understand the economic impacts of. Is this going to have a differential effect? Is this going to be harder on developing nations than it's going to be on the U.S.?
Unfortunately, I think the answer to that question is probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to say that the Sertinger paper is the first attempt to calculate these effects.
Mm-hmm.
And this calculation of how biofuel production ripples through the global economy is a mm-hmm. difficult thing to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope to see other individuals and groups attempt to do these calculations and come up with these sorts of estimates, because it's an important thing to look at. So the magnitude of the effect is not at all clear, but I think it is clear that there is this sort of effect. That said, the people who will be individually possibly most hurt will be very low-income people in developing countries
mm-hmm.
who have to buy their food.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that although in the United States food prices will not change very much, because the actual cost of the raw materials that go into food, like the corn that goes into the corn products that we eat and so forth, it's pretty small compared to all the processing and the packaging and everything else. But for people who are relatively low income in developing countries, the actual price of the commodity itself is a very high portion of the actual price that they pay, and they can barely afford to buy some of these food products. And because the basic mechanism is there's more competition more for the product, whether it's corn or vegetable oil, and the basic mechanism is that increased demand increases the price,
mm-hmm.
That is going to lead to some people being less able to afford food. But we can get away from that problem by getting away from biofuels that compete for food production and for wilderness.
Well, let me ask sort of one closing question. How do these current reports influence thinking about the transition that biofuels offer as a bridge to solutions that will get us to the greenhouse gas emissions targets? Are biofuels a bridge technology to other better transportation solutions, or are they a useful end in and of themselves?
Oh, I think that these better biofuels that I have in mind and that people are working on right now, and let's be clear, there are pilot plants that are funded by the U.S. Department of Energy that are being built right now, they could be a part of the solution in the end,
mm-hmm.
If they're done right. And one of the questions will be, well, what's going to be the mix between biofuels and electricity and hydrogen and other
right.
things that we might imagine?
Right.
So I do think there is almost certainly a role for biofuels in the long future, and, you know, a combination of innovative technologies and policies that get the industry to move in the right direction will help bring that about.
Excellent. Well, is there anything particularly glaring that I have not raised that you'd be interested in commenting on?
I think you've asked a set of good questions. I would probably sort of point out that this will be a very important economic issue mm-hmm. for developing countries mm-hmm. that have planned to export biofuels. Mm-hmm. And understanding how to allow them to grow their economies while preserving their forests and their ecosystems is a very important task. To some degree, this points to the problem that we are undervaluing forests and grasslands and wilderness for their carbon storage. Mm-hmm. And if we were to fix that problem, which was discussed in some length at the Bali Climate Convention a few months ago, if we fix that problem of not valuing the carbon in existing wilderness, we would go a long way to fixing this overall problem.
Interesting. That seems like a very important realignment of the thinking.
Yeah.
Well, that's very comprehensive, and I appreciate all your insight.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.